What on earth has losing your khakis got to do with your personal brand? What on earth has you giving somebody 500 grand got to do with understanding your personal brand? And of course, what on earth has justice got to do with personal brand? In this amazing session today, I sit down with Gail Edwards, an international award speaker and an international award global impact and personal brand strategist, as we pick apart everything from understanding who you are, from having the courage to step into it, to shining your light and just manifesting your true self, and guess what? Getting paid for it as well. This week's episode is all about standing in your own hallelujah. Even the title is so curious, you want to get into it. Stay tuned and listen in for this amazing special podcast. Welcome to the You Unleashed podcast with Femi Akinyemi, the podcast where we share ideas on how to rock it in the workplace and in life in general. A lot of times I use stories that I've learned from my own journey, from a young man to what I've become today. But sometimes I just know I need to bring someone who knows a lot more than I do to come into the studio and just share that great, great wisdom. Because after all, you can't do it all by yourself. You know what I usually say? I've become a believer that done is better than perfect. So in whatever it is you do, you just start, you get on with it. And as time goes on, you get closer and closer to perfection. And it's all about the journey, let's be honest. So with that said, this week, I've got a special guest. One of the things I've always been curious about and I've always wanted to know is that one of the biggest things that's held me back personally is being confident in myself, but also embracing that uniqueness about me. Because once you are excelling in yourself, you're there. If you try to be anyone else, you'll always be average. But if you try to be yourself, you will shine. So it gives me great, great pleasure to bring a special guest, Gail Edwards, into the studio. Now, Gail is an international award-winning global impact and personal brand strategist. She's also an author and a speaker, and she works with entrepreneurial and global corporate disruptors to help them build their identity and authority within the marketplace. You'll admit that's a pretty good gig because she knows she can make a difference and she can make a difference to you. But more than that, Gail is a powerful and intuitive healer who uses a gift of recognizing stuck energy to help her clients release it so they're able to communicate with confidence, clarity, and commitment. As the founder of the Brand You Consultancy, Gail blends the spiritual gifts with over 30 plus years in marketing, branding, communication, training and coaching to help entrepreneurs and corporate professionals to boost their identity and create more impact. She's the author of the trailblazing Stand Up in Your Own Hallelujah personal branding process. It's the same innovative process that also forms the basis of the Audacity to Be Authentic diversity and inclusion program, which Gail delivers to organizations and corporates committed to progressional change. She's also an author of an international bestseller, The Law of Brand Attraction, which was published in May 2020. She's delivered keynote speeches for organizations as well as national and international conferences. And she also interviews entrepreneurial disruptors from around the globe as the host of the Dare to Be Awesome podcast show and the co-host of the Entrepreneurs Sushi Club. I want to know about that, and I'm going to ask her for sure. Gail is also the founder of Colorful Connections Global, a soon-to-be-launched global network dedicated to leadership, professional growth, and entrepreneurship for young women of color. Gail, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to meet that guest, that one you were just talking about.
Oh, no, I thought, blimey, this is quite an achievement. But I love it because everything you do centers around just, I mean, some words stood out to me there. Authentic, standing up in your own hallelujah, and the law of brand attraction. So clearly for you, it's all about that sort of, for want of a better word, it's just owning your identity, owning yourself and being yourself, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm so glad that you picked up on that straight away as well, Femi, because that's exactly what I do. You know, and even if, as part of my process, the first step that we even look at before we talk about anything else is identity. Because you've got to be able to not just own yourself, but you've got to be able to accept yourself. And acceptance is a big, big thing. You know, you mentioned it in your own introduction. One of the things that you've, you know, been challenged with is just having that confidence to be you. And sometimes we have to accept that the you we think we are is not the you that we actually are. It's not the same you that people perceive. And sometimes we don't want to look at that shadow stuff. And that's where I suppose the spirituality and the healing and all that other stuff that I do in my work comes in, because we have to face it. We got to confront it so that we can genuinely stand up there in all of our glory, in, you know, with a confidence and the uniqueness about us that is both compelling and magnetic, because that's what we're all in business for. Let's not dress it up. We're in business to make money. We're in business to create legacy, and we can't do any of that if we are not magnetic.
Wow, magnetic. I mean, I'm just having visions of now of magnets. I mean, when I was in school and studying science, I didn't understand much of it, but I know I liked playing with the magnets in physics, and I loved seeing all the sort of the little shreds of metal just being attracted to the magnet. And that's a powerful word, magnetic. People are drawn to you. There is something about you that people are drawn to. And I'm going to want us to dig into that in as much as we can within the hour that we have to share that. But Gail, tell me, how do you become someone that today is all about this brand? I mean, what's your journey? How did you arrive here?
It's been a long journey. And to be honest, I sometimes forget how long it has actually been. But it has been a lifelong journey, if I'm honest, for me, because I knew from a very, very young age that as much as I admired my parents, they both had very stable jobs. You know, my dad worked with the Royal Mail for over 30 years. You know, he got the gold watch, the metaphorical gold watch, I should say, because it was actually a canteen of silver cutlery. But he got that at the end of a very long career. You know, my mum retired. She took early retirement when she was in her 50s. So probably around about the age I am now, she took early retirement. And, you know, I grew up seeing everyone around me having these stable jobs, you know, working and doing okay. You know, I grew up with an okay lifestyle. You know, I didn't want for anything as such. I was an only child, but I wasn't spoiled either. But, you know, I just knew, however, that that wasn't for me. You know, I would, like I said, I was fortunate. I grew up in a family that did okay. We were able to, you know, all of our needs were met. Even my extended family, everyone, we all owned our own homes. But there was something that just made me realize and made me think, that's not the life I want. I want more autonomy than that. I want more variety than that. I want to be able to go on holiday whenever I want. You know, I remember my parents and my aunts and uncles saving up literally every week, going to the local travel agent and paying down on this holiday they were going to have a year later. And I was like, what? Why can't we just go now? You know, so from that grew this interest in entrepreneurialism, so to speak, entrepreneurship. And from there, I was the only one in my family that was entrepreneurial, the only one. And so obviously, I thought there was something wrong with me because I'm the only one. They thought there was something wrong with me because I was the only one. And that kind of manifested itself in a bit of shyness and not being particularly confident at all, because I didn't want to stand out. I wanted to be like them. Mm. So I tried it. You know, my first few years after education, I entered the corporate world, worked for the BBC. So, of course, my family thought, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. We've got someone that works at the BBC. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be stuck here for life. So it just goes to show how people's perceptions are very different about the same thing. Yeah. And that's something that I teach as well, how we can both look at the same thing and see something completely different. Because I was struggling and they were, you know, literally celebrating me. And I left the BBC and went and took another job. I worked for Channel 4, worked for Sky TV. So, you know, I went around the media for quite some time. All the time, as soon as I got positioned, promoted, so to speak, I moved, because I didn't want that responsibility that was going to tie me in for years. And eventually what happened, there was this growing awareness that there was something more. There was something more. What is that more? And, you know, I kept asking those questions. I wasn't getting the answer. But there's more. I got married at 33. And because everybody else around me got married. Now, I loved my husband to bits. But would I have got married at that time? I'm not so sure now. But it was something that everybody else was doing because I didn't want to stand out. But there was something more. Do you understand where I'm going here, Femi?
Oh, yeah. It's that... Because we're forced to conform. I recall having another guest, and one of the things we spoke about is if you're not careful, very quickly, you see everyone else around you doing the same thing, and you assume that's the way it should be done. Absolutely. It's that herd mentality. Absolutely. You see everyone doing something, and you go in there. But what's happening is there is a call from deep within you that's saying, I don't want this. I don't want this. And the quicker you listen to that call, because it's only there for a while, it rises, it becomes a pitch. And if you don't listen to that call that, hey, Femi, hey, girl, there was something different here. But eventually you don't listen, then it goes away, it dies, and you find that you live a life unfulfilled.
And that's exactly it. And it took until, so I got married. We went through a bit of a sad time because I had quite a traumatic miscarriage. And that was then I found a group of people that really understood me. They were willing to listen to me and they helped me to explore what's that more. And I those same people, I actually ended up in the States at a conference called African American Women on Tour. And to this day, I cannot tell you what the subject matter was. All I know is that this woman came on stage and I was in the front seat. And she came on, she had the mic, she was all very, very vibrant, beautiful, energetic, you know, very vibrant black woman. And she came on with her mic and she said, oh, I'm so pleased to be here. My only regret in life is that I'm going to be 50 next birthday and I've only been living a life of purpose for 12 years. No idea what she said after that, because all I heard was that she was 38, she'd been living a life of purpose for 12 years, I'm only 34 at that time, so I've got time. Right, that's all I heard. So I came back to the UK, handed in my notice. At that time, I was a marketing manager for a confectionery company, quite well-known confectionery company at the time. Handed in my notice. I was on 3 months' notice, so I had time to kind of like create my story for my husband as to why I was leaving. Because he was like, what on earth are you doing? I was like, don't worry, it'll be fine. I'll just get another job. I've got 3 months. I knew I was never going to work for anybody else again. And I have to this day. Right, I just knew it. And I didn't even know what I wanted to do. All I knew was that I had a skill and a talent for marketing and communications and that people wanted freelancers. They wanted consultants. So I will do that until I figure it out. And I did. And, you know, I've always been more interested in people. And, you know, clearly along the way, I found my voice from being a shy young girl. And, you know, I discovered this thing called coaching. And I thought, oh, my gosh, people are going to pay me for my advice. Hell yes. That's the job for me. So I started coaching as well as, you know, in terms of marketing and comms and business growth and strategy and all that kind of stuff and branding, which was, you know, my particular area of expertise. But I was really interested in people. And as time has gone on, I mean, I've been, put it this way, I've been self-employed now. I've been running my business. This is my 21st year, so it's a long time. Yeah, this is my 21st year, so it's been a long journey, like I said. But over time, I started to find that the more I connected and clicked in with the strategy that makes people work, the more successful they were. Their marketing campaigns, their business growth, the way that they communicated with people just absolutely transformed. So that became my niche. And as that has grown over the years, I've found that a lot of my clients go on to achieve literally global and international success because of the impact that they create. And it is the most fulfilling part of my job for me. It's the most fun part, seeing somebody, number one, not even being able to talk about what they do. They don't know, you know, they find it embarrassing to talk about money. They find it embarrassing to blow their own trumpet. And I say all the time, it's not bragging, sweetheart. It's branding. This is what personal branding is about. So it has been an interesting journey, without a doubt, over the past 30 years, but it has been the most rewarding journey ever. And I suppose that's what also one of the reasons why I'm starting Colourful Connections, because I don't want people to wait until they're 34 or 35 to discover who they are. You know, that can happen. My daughter's 18. She already knows. Well, she hasn't got a choice. I'm her mom. But, but there's so many people who don't have me as their mom.
Yeah. I mean, that story is so powerful, because there's so many people and who have a calling to do something. Now, some of them may not be entrepreneurs. Some of them may just be in the workplace. Mm. But you found it, that thing you said, which is the strategy to help people connect to who they are.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I kind of want you to peel up, to dig deeper into. So standing in your own hallelujah, just unpack that. What is that about?
So, Femi, imagine, have you ever been in a situation whereby it's really in your head and you're going round and round with it and it's really frustrating and it's like, oh, you know, you just need an answer, and suddenly you discover the answer. In fact, it's almost like you, let's simplify that even further, because we're going to go really deep with this one. It's like you lose something, you lost something, but it's in the house. And it's really frustrating because you know it's in the house.
Like my car keys,
Right, really frustrating. You're like, where the... And you ask everybody, nobody's seen them, no one. And then you realise they're in your pocket of the trousers that you're wearing. What's that feeling like?
It's like, oh. It's like hallelujah, or like eureka, hallelujah. You just,
It's the eureka moment. It's like, oh, and where was it? It was in your pocket. And this is exactly the same with what standing up in your own hallelujah is about. It's I call it my disruptive personal branding process, because you don't have to go out there and look for it. This is not hard work. You just got to put your hand in your pocket, right? Because it's there.
That's deep.
And that's where we live. We live within ourselves. People think we live outside and that we need to have the latest thing that's going to make us who we are. We don't. We just need to know where to look. You know, one of the things someone said to me the other day, and I don't mind sharing this with your listeners. Someone said to me the other day, they were listening to another podcast I was on, and they contacted me really kind of like quite gingerly, like, oh, hi, Gail. I heard you talk, you know, and I thought, gosh, even if they don't need me, I'm going to have to help them, because I know they, just from the way they were speaking to me, there was a lot of hero worship going on. And I just thought, no, we don't do that. So, you know, and he said to me, I really like what you had to say, but you just sound so expensive. That really shocked me, because I thought, oh, okay. So I said, expensive compared to what? What are you comparing me to? And he said, oh, well, you know, I've worked with other coaches or whatever. Fine, great. What exactly is it that you're looking for where you've been working with other coaches? Well, you know, I run this business where I do a few things and blah, blah, blah. Basically, what the crux was that he runs a portfolio business, so he's got more than one business. And when he's talking to people, they ask him what he does. He's not quite sure what to answer. He's not sure how to bring it all together, which business to talk about first. And, you know, so my answer to him was, when you speak to people, I said, it's a bit different now because we're all on Zoom, but when you speak to people, do you find that they have networker's neck? So he said to me, what on earth is networker's neck? I said, it's when they do that thing when they look over your head and start looking for someone else to talk to. Their neck is moving. Mm-hmm. So he laughed. He went, that does happen. I said, well, then that is what you're paying for. You're paying for people not to have networker's neck when they speak to you. You're paying for their attention, that they are so enthralled by what you're saying that they don't want anyone else to come along. In fact, if anyone else comes to join your conversation, they will quickly, you know, try and remove them because they want you one-on-one, 100%. And I said, and how much is that worth to you in your business? And he went, wow. I said, exactly. I'm not quite so expensive anymore, am I?
That's amazing, because what you're saying is really standing up in your own hallelujah is finding that thing within you, so that when you introduce yourself to people, when you speak to people, when you engage with the people, they don't want to talk to anyone else but you. Absolutely. That unique, amazing thing about you that each and every one of us has in the workplace, in business, when you just communicate with people, that thing is just flowing out of you and people just want to bask in it. They want to stand around you. They want to listen to you.
Absolutely. And that's what it is. And it's a blessing and a burden, because there are some times when you go out, you don't want anyone to bother you. You're like, just get through the evening, you know.
Yeah.
It's both a blessing and a burden. But when you learn how to do it really well, you can turn it on and off at will. You know, for your own benefit. But the beauty, the beauty of this, though, for me, and this is one of the things that makes it such a wonderful process to go through, is that it doesn't just benefit your business. You know, I say to men, you know, when they're saying, oh, you know, my wife left me, blah, blah, blah. Imagine being able to make women magnetic, you know, to magnetize women towards you. It's the same thing. It's the same skill. Standing up in your own hallelujah doesn't just end when you, once you finish your business meeting or you finish delivering your speech, you finish working with a client. It carries on. It's an inbuilt magnetism.
Well, I think we found a new market. So husbands husbands who want to be magnetic to their wives. But the point is, I get it, is it's not about work. It's about your life. It's about standing up in your own hallelujah in your life. Which brings me to a good question, which is, what is the biggest reason why a lot of us, unconsciously or consciously, are unable to step up into our own hallelujah, are able to embrace ourselves and just be? What's stopping most of us?
Oh, do you know what? That's one. I'm so glad you asked me that question, because it gives me the opportunity to quote one of my favorite poems. And I think if ever there were some words that I wish I had written myself, it was these by Marianne Williamson, where she says, she wrote this poem called Our Deepest Fear. And she says, it is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us most. And that's exactly it. Most people are scared of their own light, their own power, their own influence, because they don't know how to harness that. They don't know what to do with it. You know, a lot of people have some limiting beliefs, you know, those things that we just believe. We don't even know where they came from. We just believe, you know, things like, if you ever hear yourself saying something like money is the root of all evil, or you have to work really hard to be successful, they're limiting beliefs. They're beliefs that we've taken on and we believe them to be true. And when you have those kind of beliefs running in the background, they're like the program that's powering your own engine. And when you have those beliefs running in the background, it's really hard to then believe that you can really be successful just by being you, just by doing nothing, you know. And that's why we run around looking for the keys, because we don't believe for one moment that it can be as simple as just putting our hand in the pocket and being there. So they must be somewhere else. They can't be on me. They've got to be somewhere else.
Yes. And the other thing is, because you see a lot of other people doing what they're doing to become successful, we think the thing that's in us is too unique. What we're embracing ourselves can't work. I know what Joe Bloggs is doing works, so I'll copy him instead of embracing ourselves.
But that's a very old paradigm as well, for me. You know, there are so many things. I wish we had 2 hours, but you know, there are so many things, because number one, a lot of us of a certain generation have come up running our own businesses, particularly, or those of us that are in the corporate world have been mentored as well. We've been told to model. That's one of the strategies that we've been told. You've got to model success. You want to be successful, then you follow people who are successful. And there's nothing wrong with that. Right? I still believe in that as a strategy. But we're moving more into what I call the human-to-human economy. Okay, the heart-to-heart economy, where it's really important to connect not just with others, but also with yourself. And this economy is really where the more you can connect with yourself, the more you can connect with others. The more you connect with others, the more you connect with yourself. And it's an ecosystem that provides win solutions. And it's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of working. But really and truly, we've got to accept that the light within us is also the light within someone else. The light we see in someone else is also the light we see within us. We are more the same than we are actually different.
Yeah.
Our old economies, our old ways of working, our old ways of even mentoring, leading and teaching were based on our differences. I'm better than you. That's why I can mentor you. I'm better than you. That's why I'm your leader. That paradigm is being disrupted. It's being disrupted daily, minute by minute. You know, you see this whole new generation of entrepreneurs that are coming up and leaders. That's not their thinking.
No, it's more. And if I get this right, it's I'm being vulnerable and sharing myself with you. And you're sharing it with me, and I'm able to bring out through a spirit of collaboration, I'm able to bring out the best in all of us so we can create something new and different. And I'm reading this book, The World's Greatest Salesman, right now. And one of the things he says about experiences like fashion, things that worked yesterday may not work tomorrow. What's more important is the principles. If you have the good principles of success, you're more likely to achieve rather than relying on what someone else has done 20, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so, but to go on to your poem, I love that poem. It's that Marianne Williamson, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Absolutely. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Absolutely.
And I saw you, and people can't see, but I can see your lips because we're speaking, I can see you. And you were muttering every single word of that. It's quite powerful. It's a lot of us just don't. Yeah. And I get it because it's that be yourself and be your best self and just release yourself. A lot of us are living our lives with a handbrake on, aren't we?
Absolutely. We really are. And it's that fear. What will happen when I release the handbrake? Is someone going to judge me because I released it too soon or that I had my hand on it too long? You know, it's that judgment. No one is going to judge us worse than we're going to judge ourselves. That much I know. Nobody. Yeah. So once we get over our own judgment, we release ourselves to go forward.
No, that's true. There's this lovely example I like to use, and it was I've lost my job a couple of times. And most people have been through losing their job once or twice. And I remember once when I lost my job, it was because there was something I could have done. And in my heart, my instinct was saying, do this, do this, do this. And I didn't do it. And I ended up doing what someone else told me to do. And because of that, it didn't go well. I lost my job. And above everything, what I was most upset about was that I did not follow my instinct. Because I said I would wish I had failed on my own terms than on someone else's terms. That is the worst thing that can happen to you. You fail when you didn't listen to yourself.
Yep, absolutely. Fail on your own terms rather than someone else's. You know, I talk about failing forward a lot with my clients because you just have to. That's how we learn. That's also how we grow. It's a growing phase. And also with some of my, let's call them VIP clients, my one-to-one clients, you know, we actually have failure strategies. We actually have strategies for failure. Right. So this is the strategy we're going to use to fail. Right. Because what do you think we uncover when you're looking at failure strategies? What do you think you uncover? You uncover your greatest, greatest assets. You uncover the tools. You also uncover the shadows. You bring them out into the light.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's another one of my favorite exercises, actually, when we look at that, failing strategies.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. So, also,
Femi, you mentioned before, you know, about the changes that everyone has been under. You know, you've lost your job a couple of times, and you're right, we can all identify with that. But also, we've all got to be prepared to ride with those changes. I mean, this year, better than any other year, 2020 has taught us that, if nothing else. Today is whatever date it is in December. December 9, 2019, if you are doing the same thing today that you were doing in December 2019, you are not going to have a great 2021. If you're doing the same things in your business today that you were doing in December 2019, you're literally going to have a really hard time. Times have changed. People have changed. The way we connect, the way we communicate, the way we do business has changed.
Yeah.
And yet everyone's saying, oh, well, we've gone digital. It's more than that. It's even more than that. So I would say during this time, if anyone has any downtime, use it. Use it to reevaluate, without a doubt, you know, to reconnect with the soul of who you are, the soul of your business. Because when you get to the soul of who you are, like we were just talking about with standing up in your own hallelujah, it changes your business. Your business has no choice but to change. It has to, because you've changed.
Yeah. No, amazing. So, girl, we've spoken about the fear. It's that fear. And that's the biggest thing that holds us back. So what do we do? So I know I'm not standing up in my own hallelujah, and I know fear is holding me back. We can't tell everyone everything in 30 minutes, but what are the general things you could do to almost at least give an idea of what of becoming, of standing up in your own hallelujah? How do people get out of that fear?
The first thing they need to do is to touch base. They've got to touch base with themselves. They've got to ask themselves, and it takes some quiet time. And people do it in many different ways. Some people journal, some people meditate, some people go for a walk. You know, it doesn't matter how you do it. At this stage, it doesn't matter how you do it, because it's that this is the stage where you know there's something not quite right. You don't know what the answer is yet, but you just know. Something's not right. And at that stage, you've got to stand up and take a little bit of stock, touch base, and say, what is this really about? What is it I really, really want? And when you think about it from that perspective, not what I don't want. So most people say, oh gosh, I just don't want to do this 9-to-5 anymore. That's what you don't want. What do you want? And this is actually quite a difficult process for people to do, because we're so focused on what we don't want, what's going wrong, who's upset us, that when we have to take our minds to that space of expansion, because that's what it is, we're starting to expand.
Yeah.
That's a different process.
Yeah.
So what do I want? You know, if you ask people, if you had loads of money, what kind of car would you buy? They can answer it like that. If you had your ideal life, what would you spend your day doing? Once they get over the fluff, they struggle. I don't know.
Because a lot of us don't really know the answer to that question. I've been through that a few times. When I'm starting to write my vision or my goals, once I get through the obvious, oh, I'd like to be financially independent, I'd like to be X, Y, Z, I go, but what do I really want?
Right. And this is where we now start to create legacy. And that's, if you want to have a global impact and a really strong personal brand, this is where you got to start. This is where you got to go. But you can't go there straight away. You've got to think about it in terms of, what is it I really want? What am I doing? You know, what is the point of this? It doesn't matter what you're doing. What is the point of this? And when you go to that place first, and then come back from there. Okay, so if I really want that in my life and I really want to be able to do that and leave that as a legacy, then what do I need to do today? What do I need to do today to make that happen?
I love that because
be today to make that happen.
I love that because what you're getting at is we're almost talking about how can you be of service to the world?
Absolutely.
How can you, with your gift and your talent and that thing you enjoy doing, how can you leave a legacy? How can you make an impact? Because when you decide to make an impact, then you go, okay, what do I need to do to make an impact? If I'm right, Gail. And once you know what you need to do to make an impact, that gives you an idea of what you need to be doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I talk a lot about the human-to-human economy. You know, I talk about that a lot because it is an ecosystem that me and my company, Brand New Consultancy, are real trailblazers for. You know, it's the ecosystem that allows each of us to really have an impact on societal experience and societal change. And it's a huge legacy piece. You know, even my business is a business for good. You know, if someone even follows me on social media, then the ripple effect, the impact of that is that somebody gets to an education that they may not necessarily have access to. Someone gets water they may not necessarily have access to. Someone gets to go to college or university that they may not necessarily have access to. Literally, I haven't finished the process, to be fair, but I'm in the process that every single interaction that someone has with me or my business has an effect somewhere else on someone else. And that's about creating real legacy, real global impact. And when you come from that space, like you say, of being of service, when we set ourselves up to be of service, the rest of it is automatic. You're almost on automatic pilot.
Yeah, it just falls into place. Because when you're being of service in your gift and your talent, it's just so easy. Because you finish the day and you're not tired. You may be physically tired, but mentally you're not tired because you're just doing what you love doing. But the one thing I wanted to say was, so there might be some people who are not entrepreneurs who love the corporate life. How about them? How easy is it for them as well to live this life of legacy when they're working for a big company? I mean, how does it translate for them?
It's exactly the same. You know, we are who we are. You know, just whether we go through the blue door or the red door, we're still the same person, okay? And it's that that makes the difference. Some people think that because they've chosen to go through, I call it the navy blue door, right, when it comes to corporates, but because they've chosen to go through the navy blue door, that they have to be somebody else. They wear that mask. I used to have a speech a few years ago called Wearing Your Mask to Work, because which is quite funny now when you consider what's going on.
Ironic, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. But the thing is, even if you look at it in conjunction with what's going on today, most of our faces are hidden. The moment we leave our front door, most of our faces are hidden now. The only way we can connect with people is through our eyes, through our words. Yeah. And it's exactly the same when you're in a corporate. Yeah. You know, whether you're wearing your mask or not, you can still connect with people. Your heart doesn't change. And about leaving legacy, you know, corporates thankfully are changing. But even if you are in a position where you cannot affect change within your corporate, you can affect change within yourself. Mm. And when you affect change within yourself, people around you have no choice but to think, what's happening? What are you doing? You're different, you know. Yeah. And that evokes conversation. Whether they like the difference or not, it evokes conversation. That's what you want. You want to get people talking.
No, you're right. And one of the things, I was running a coaching session a few days ago, one of the things I told people was, what you need to do is when you're leaving your job, you want to make sure there is a big gap when you're leaving. You're leaving and people go, oh, this amazing person did the job before. She was friendly, they were loving, they were so kind. You were in your element, and then your work itself was about excellence. Your work was excellent, you yourself were excellent. So that when you leave, your last day is not, it's almost like they're celebrating you, but they're sad you're leaving because they know that light you had within you, you're taking it with you. And if you approach your work like that, it will make all the difference. You've got to bloom where you're planted.
Absolutely. You know, personal branding is about people speaking about you behind your back, okay? Now, people are always going to speak about you behind your back, whether you like it or not. Personal branding, great personal branding, disruptive personal branding is about controlling the narrative, okay? Yeah. It's about you controlling that conversation about what they say, you know? So if they're going to say, wow, that Gail Edwards, she's a bit of a sort, then really that's down to me. That is actually my responsibility. I may not want them to say that. I might want them to say, geez, now she was a powerful guest. Yeah, I am.
I've never thought about that, Gail. So your personal brand is also responsibility. You've got to own and be responsible. And the same way Apple have metrics to measure their brand, to make sure they're doing the right things, for your own personal brand as well, you have to have, I don't know what those metrics are, but you've got to have a way of measuring to make sure your brand is effective and your brand equity is high.
Right. I'm so glad you mentioned brand equity. Absolutely. We are in this age, and I know I keep saying it, but I've got to keep saying it until people really get it in their muscle and they just do it automatically. We are in this age where connection and communication are so important. This is what's happening. People are putting their programs out there. They're applying for jobs even. You know, they're doing all the communication piece. They're broadcasting on social media. They're doing that communication piece beautifully, absolutely beautifully. And then what they're expecting from that communications piece is that they want to have more followers. They want to have more clients. They want to get the ideal job that they want. They want to get the partner that they want. But there's something missing. And it's that bit that's missing in the middle. It's that bit that's missing in the middle that is preventing them. And that bit is the connection piece. And that bit is where you build your brand equity. That's where you have your social capital. So nowadays, it's so easy. You know, as business owners or entrepreneurs, it's really easy. If we want to know about someone, we go onto LinkedIn, check out what they're doing. You know, what is it they say they do? And the one thing not a lot of people do that they should be doing more of is looking at the recommendations. How many recommendations has this person got that tell you about how they work, who they are, that social capital? People get testimonials and they don't want to put them. That's why I love LinkedIn, because LinkedIn forces you to put it on your profile. It's not dependent on you seeing it in your inbox and thinking, oh, I can't tell anyone. I don't want people to think that I'm show off or that I'm an arrogant. No, I can't. LinkedIn, so the moment someone sends you a recommendation, you just press yes and it appears on your profile. Done. None of this imminent R-ing, you know, business. And this is exactly what we all need to be doing. If someone says something nice about you, Febby, or something complimentary about you, or you've done something, you know, in May, I was asked to collaborate on this book, The Law of Brand Attraction. I said yes, without even... because this is also part of the stand up in your own hallelujah process. You're able to make decisions very quickly and recognize opportunities very easily as well. So I said yes, didn't even know what was involved. Then I was told, right, so we're going to be published in 10 days. Pardon? Gail, we're writing this book and it's going to be published in 10 days. So you've got 10 days to basically submit your chapter. Now, obviously, one of my skills is copywriting, is communications and copywriting. So I ended up not only having to write my own, but also having to edit a number of other people's work as well, all within 10 days.
Wow.
Literally 12 days later. So literally we did publish on Kindle 10, 11 days later. 12 days later, that book became an international bestseller in six countries. Six countries. That is the power of knowing your personal brand, of being able to accept opportunities quickly, make decisions quickly, but also knowing that that's going to give, how that's going to affect your brand equity and your social capital. So can you imagine how I've been able to say that literally within 12 days of accepting an opportunity, I became an international best-selling author
Wow.
But not only did I become an, you know, I was part of a collaboration, so all of us did, but I also appeared on a podcast in the States as a result of that book that led my podcast to being labeled Podcast of the Year. I mean, that is impact. And that's yes. the kind of thing that we need to talk about. We need to let people know, because that's not, oh my gosh, someone's got a huge budget and I was able to. No, that's just this woman that lives in West London, you know, in my little spot in West London from my office, my little box room office in my house, that was able to do that. And anybody yeah. can do that.
Yeah. And one of the things I tell people as well is people may not put a reference for you on social media, on the internet, but one of the things you can always do is when you work with people is say, how do you feel about the work I've done for you? Is there anything I could do better? Because even in having that discussion, you're building an imprint in their mind that they were happy with what you've done. And then they will, via word of mouth as well, recommend you as well. But a lot of us don't want to ask those conversations because we don't want to face up. And I struggle too to have that conversation to say, are you happy with my work? Because we don't want to hear the answer sometimes.
Okay, so I'm going to challenge you now, Femi. Why would you ask a question that opens you up in that way? Okay, so the reason why I ask that, because that's a yes or no question. Are you happy? Well, no, I'm not actually.
Tell me why.
Right. However, I always say, if you want great answers, you've got to ask great questions. Great
yes.
questions. So how about you are? So Femi, I've really enjoyed my time this morning, you know, on our podcast. Have you enjoyed it?
Yes, I have.
Fantastic. I'm glad you have. So what are you going to tell your friends about me?
Oh, I had this amazing time with Gail, and she's such a vivacious, energetic woman who's stepped into her own hallelujah. She's pulled herself out of her whatever career she had in media, and she's built up a business helping people fulfill their talents and shine in their own light.
Oh, I love that. For me, I hope you don't mind, but I'm actually going to use those words. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Great. That's the testimonial done. Right. And that way, when you ask people, so what are you going to tell your friends about me? Right. And because people will say, you could have said, oh gosh, I'm going to tell them that I had this chat and this woman just spoke so much that I couldn't even get a word in. And you know what I would say? Great. Can I use those words for me? Because it's all about positioning. Okay. If you want to hear someone who's so full of information that sometimes she's overflowing, you need to listen to Gail Edwards. Because that's what you said. She talks too much.
Right. Perception, isn't it? It's positioning and perception.
It's all about positioning. And sometimes we're scared of the positioning because we think, oh, but that's a lie. It's not a lie. It's only a lie if it's a lie.
It's just a different, angle, different side of the same coin.
It's different side of the same coin, you know. So it's about having that confidence again, and it all comes back down to that same thing. One of the things that, you know, I really embed literally at the deepest level, it's almost like roots of a tree. Right down in those roots are confidence, this congruence, you know, this commitment. These are the things that are right down in the roots before we even start looking at you as a person and what you can do. And, you know, because there's a whole, there are five levels within the standing up in your own hallelujah process.
Talk to me about that, because I know we haven't got you for time, but I know I wanted to talk about.
But identity, as I said right at the beginning, is level number one. So most people come to me, to be fair, because either they haven't got enough clients, they're not earning enough money, or they don't know how to speak about themselves. They're the two main problems. There are others, but they're the two main ones, okay? And they always say, whenever we're talking, the first thing they say, I've got a great business logo, my website is all done, you know, it's brilliant. Yeah, but you're not making any money. So it just goes to show, having a great logo and website, that's not part of branding in the way I do.
It's your aura. It's your energy. It's your aura.
They are step five. So between identity, step one, and image, which is step five, we look at the whole thing. We look at your impact. We look at influence. And we also look at your income. But there's a reason why income is step number three and not step number one. Remember, they're showing up because they're not making money. But it's step number three. Because there's all the foundational root stuff. You've got to be prepared. You know, it's like when people say to me, you know, when I ask them, well, what would your ideal income, monthly income be? Oh, I want to earn minimum 20K a month. Oh, is your business ready for 20K? So we need to get you and your business ready for 20K. Is your business ready for 50K months? We need to get you ready. Yeah, you want to have a year that gives you $500,000. Great, we can do that, but your business needs to be, you need to be ready. So this is where we do some of the spiritual work as well, because you need to be ready. You've got to heal all that stuff, all the old money stories, all those old beliefs that we spoke about. All that stuff needs to come out. It's like clearing out the sludge. Mm. You know, if you clean drains or pipe or anything or the kitchen sink, you know, there's a bit of sludge that comes out when you're clearing the drain. Yeah. The sludge, so the water can flow nicely. We've cleared the blockage, now the water's flowing nicely. And you know, this is why I absolutely love doing what I'm doing, because people think this is hard work. It is not hard. You just have to know what to do.
And that's something I know I've spoken about in one of my previous podcasts. A lot of us are carrying around a lot of baggage, mental, spiritual, physical scars from people being taught, telling us we're not good enough, we're not articulate enough, we're not tall enough, short enough, tall enough, light-skinned enough, all sorts of things that have just built up, have just built up these mental baggage. So what are some practical steps people can do? Because when we come to the end, I'll talk about you a bit and how people can reach out if they want to. But what are some practical steps people can do? So you know what your legacy is, or you have an idea of what your legacy is. You know, you accept that it's that fear that's holding you back. Are there some things some of us can do, 9 to 5 or an entrepreneur? What are some things that we can do that could give us an energy boost before we talk to people like you for the sustainable change?
Set your boundaries. First thing, you've got to set your boundaries. We have too much toxicity within our lives, okay? Know who you are and know what you stand for and live by that. Find out. If you're not quite sure, then find out. Ask yourself the questions. You know, see where the rub is. You know, some people will say, I say this on every podcast. I can't go ahead and not say it on this one. Right? I absolutely love and support the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, right, Harry and Meghan. And the reason why is because I really hate injustice. Mm-hmm. I don't like anybody being bullied, victimized, marginalized. It should not exist in the world. I do not like hatefulness and vitriol in any shape or form. So for me, because I know that about myself, and I've always known that about myself, I support, endorse a lot of things that promote equality, fairness, justice, because I'm that person. That's me at my very core. So some people, please don't ever follow me on Twitter on my Breakthrough Diva account, because you'll just get upset because I just support Harry and Meghan on there. Use my other one. Consultancy. But, you know, but...
That's a topic for another day, because I know if I get 10 people in a room, you will hear 10 different, or it will go right down the middle. Some people will say this, some people will say that.
I've heard them all. You know, I actually co-host the podcast that talks about Harry and Meghan a lot, called Duchess Like Us. But anyhow, that's a whole other game. But the point here is, know who you are and what you stand for, and be consistent in that across the board, you know, and that's about setting your boundaries, because you're going to come across people who are going to try and lead you astray, or even they're going to try and tempt you, put it that way. It's a nicer way of saying that. But when you know who you are, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Become known for your values and your conviction as much as you are known for your work. People know I'm all about justice. They know I'm about fairness. And that is the same whether I'm working with you one-to-one or whether I'm writing an article or whether I'm on a podcast hosting or guesting.
Yeah.
It's the same. And, you know, it's the other thing about knowing your boundaries is I don't do anything that doesn't feel fun. I just don't. That's why we co-host the Entrepreneur Sushi Club. We do that because we love sushi. You know,
but what is that about? I was going to ask, Entrepreneur Sushi Club, what is that? You guys eat sushi and just host a podcast or?
Well, no, we don't eat sushi on the podcast as such. But it's basically myself and Lubna Zaru, who's based in the Netherlands, and Woon Tan, who's based here in the UK as well. We just found that as entrepreneurs, we had one thing that we in common was that we loved sushi. We like business, but we love sushi. So we thought, well, surely we can't be the only three. So let's see. So we just started interviewing people we put out a call for people who are entrepreneurs and business owners that love sushi. And let's see what happens. And we found ourselves interviewing some amazing, honestly, we have interviewed some amazing people. We interviewed Bob Doyle The Secret. He was in The Secret movie. So we've interviewed him. We've interviewed Keith Leon, who's a huge best-selling author. Paul Dunn, massively successful businessman over in Singapore, all because of our love of sushi.
I love that. And that's in a way, speaks to who you are, which is you love sushi, you love podcasting, you found someone who had similar magnetism or similar attraction. You got together, you did something, and you just found out where it took you. And it took you some places amazing.
Absolutely. You know, I remember when Lubna first mentioned it to me, that it was because it was actually Lubna's idea. We were in the Netherlands together. And I was visiting her. We were doing some work over there together. And she said, oh, what do you fancy to eat? And I said, I'm not sure. You tell me, this is your area. And she said, oh, well, to be honest, leave it to me. I'll have sushi. And I was just like, oh, I love
soulmate.
Sushi.
Soulmate.
That was it. And she said, I love sushi. Do you know what? I have this vision of entrepreneurs coming together around sushi. I said, right, let's do it. Set up the group now. And she was like, what? Yeah, come on, Lubs. Let's do it now. And that was it. That was over a year ago. We've put out a weekly podcast every single week for the whole year.
Wow. Wow.
Who love sushi.
That's my round of applause for the go-getter. Because I can relate to the whole podcast. I love talking to people. I've wanted to do a podcast, and one day I just grabbed my phone, got into a cupboard for sound quality, and I started. And here I am a year later. So sometimes you've just got to start and get there. So I love that. So know your boundaries. We're coming to the end soon. Any other big ones people can do to just...
Yes, so set your boundaries. That is a really big one, because this is all part of starting to really explore who you are.
Yeah.
Okay. So once you know your boundaries, be brave. You've got to be brave with this.
Be brave. Don't be afraid to fail.
Remove the toxicity. Remove it. You know, because it's not helping you. It's not moving you forward. Surround yourself with people who are like you, people who aren't going to be embarrassed when you talk about your legacy and what you want to build and how you want to build it. Surround yourself with people who are better than you, who are further forward than you, people who can, you know, help you to leverage and upscale or level up, as the young people call it. You know, that's not being... You know, in our day, people will call that, you know, social climbing. It's not social climbing at all. It's about being strategic about your life, okay? Be intentional with your life. Don't just let it happen to you.
Yeah.
One of the other things that I would say is there are people that you admire right now, people that whether they're close to you or a little bit further away, they may be celebrities, doesn't matter. We are in a technological age where everyone is accessible to us. Reach out to them. You never know whether that person's going to come back. And, you know, they may respond and you may end up having a really great connection that serves both of you. And the final piece I'll say is never, ever, ever be prepared to take something that you're not prepared to give.
Wow. I need to process that. never, ever, ever take something that you're not prepared to give. I'm processing that because that's deep. And I'll get that after you're gone, won't I?
I'll get a phone call saying, I got it.
Okay. So really, and that's it, but that boils down to do unto others as you'd have done to you. And it's really, in another way, it's really, if you know you can't accept something, if you know you're not going to accept anything from anyone else, that's be it a physical gift, a spiritual gift, if there's anything you know you cannot tolerate, you cannot accept. So for you, it's injustice. You hate injustice. So you know that by definition, you will never be unjust to anyone else. You hate gossiping. So don't ever gossip about anyone. You won't, you hate being undercharged or being lowballed when you're selling your product. So don't try to do the same thing to anyone, et cetera, et cetera. I just about got it before you left. Well done, me.
But the other level of that, remember what I said, do not be prepared to accept what you're not prepared to give. So some people will come to you bearing nice, big, shiny gifts, and you might think, oh, that's nice, that's just what I need. But if you were in that position, would you also give that to somebody? Would you also be as generous? Would you be as humanitarian?
Hmm. And you know what's deep about that? Because if we follow it in the law of seed and harvest, because by doing that, you are taking responsibility for doing the same to someone. And if you know you haven't got the capacity or you haven't got it in you to sow that kind of seed as well, don't take it on yet because you're not ready.
You're not ready. Now, if you know that, well, yes, actually, if I was in that position, I would do it, then that's fine. You may not be in that position now, but you know that your heart is generous, your heart is open, then fine. But, you know, it's just a really good thing for keeping the positive flow within the economy, within the human-to-human economy.
Well, I can challenge you on that because I know some people that will say you shouldn't. If you don't let someone give, you're not allowing them to give, to sow a seed as well and pass it on. You're blocking it. You're becoming a blocker.
No, you're not. Remember, this is what I said. You've got to really think about what I said. Do not take what you are not prepared to give. So this is about your heart.
Yeah.
This is about your responsibility. If I gave you £1 million, if I said, right, do you know what, Femi? It's coming to the end of the tax year. I've got £500,000 that I need to lose, right? I'm prepared to give it to you to invest in your business. You could say, oh my gosh, thank you, Gail. I've been waiting for this. And you could take it. But if you were in the position where you had £500,000 or whatever amount to give some, would you give it? And that's where the real question is, because some people take, but they don't give.
Yeah.
That's why they do not prepare to take what you're not prepared to give.
Yeah. I mean, I like that as well, because if you could be mature enough, you can take that as a challenge to say, are you ready to step up and grow and take your own life to the next level? And that's Absolutely. Even a deeper question. And if you say no, then maybe you need to step into your hallelujah because you need to go see Gail. I mean, this is amazing. Thank you so much. I've got to get you back here, Gail. And maybe I need to try sushi. I like sushi, but I like warm sushi. I went somewhere in Atlanta and I tried warm sushi. I don't know if there's such a thing and I liked it. So
Sushi.
Yeah. No. So if you've run out of people, maybe you could give me a shout. But thank you so much, Gail, for coming. This is amazing. It's been enlightening. I would love to have you on at some point to talk as well about just the other one, which is the one about women of color. And I'd love to get you to come and talk as well about how, as minorities as well, there's a different layer. You see, for minorities as well, if you're black and you're working in an all-white workplace, now there is your normal baggage you carry around with you. But then there is the other one, which means you can't express yourself for wanting to be seen as fitting into the stereotype of being a aggressive or you know, the angry black man, the angry black woman, and all of that can come into it. And there's a lot of, and for a lot of white people, it's subconscious, but that's the way they will see you. And that's a different thing. I know that at some point I've got to get you in to come on and pack, because a lot of us struggle to express ourselves. We cower. We don't live as ourselves. And it's only because we don't want to fit a stereotype and we want to fit into the mold, and we're doing ourselves a disservice, really.
Absolutely. I'd love to come back to have a chat with you about that, because Yeah, that's a big topic, big topic.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of work in that area, so absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We'll get you on that. Thank you. So where can people find out about you? I bet there's some people that are saying, you know, they've heard my referral already when you asked me, what do you think about me? They're thinking, yeah, I want to get in. Even I'm thinking I need some of this sauce. So what do people need to do? Step into the higher layer. How can they read your tweets or whatever?
The best place at the moment, funny enough, I literally just took down my website this morning because I'm going to be doing some work over Christmas on it. But I have got a masterclass coming up on the 29th of December. And the best way to find out more about that masterclass is to either find me on social media. I'm not hard to find. I'm on Instagram, gailedwards.brandyou. I'm on LinkedIn as Gail Edwards. But also, literally, gail@brandyouconsultancy.com is my email address. So I'm, as you can tell, I'm all about the connection and the communication.
Yeah.
So please just reach out to me. Like I said, not on Breakthrough Diva at Twitter, though, but @consultancy_you. On Twitter, that's the best one. That's my professional one. Okay. But definitely, like I said, I'm not hard to find.
Yeah.
But that masterclass, I'm doing a special because I realized I had quite a few clients said to me that this was not the year that they thought it was going to be. And I thought, well, hold on, you've still got time. So I've decided to run this really special masterclass for them and for anybody else. So I would say that's probably the best and the most valuable, let's say, masterclass you'll probably see from me, because it is, I am doing it as a special for some of my clients. So it's going to be a good price. I'm not going to say what it is now, but definitely contact me. It's going to be on Tuesday, 29th of December between 10 and 3, because let's be honest, we're not doing anything else. We're all at home. We're not doing anything else. And it will set you up as being not an expert, but the expert that people go to for 2021. So you start the year already as the expert rather than an expert.
Fabulous. I'm not sure where this podcast is coming out, but what I will tell everyone is make sure you bombard Gail on social media so she knows she has to run even more. Because I know if there's more of you interested, she's going to do it. But that's fabulous. The 29th of December.
Yeah. And also remember, every time I get a new follower on social media, someone else around the world receives the impact of that. They receive a monetary gift.
Oh, fabulous. Right. That's an amazing, inspiring one. Thank you so much, Gail, for coming. I've learned a lot. It's been transformational and it's been such a gift. Thank you for coming and sharing your wisdom with us. So everyone, you heard it. Stand up in your own hallelujah. I often say this all the time, that done is better than perfect. But to start on that journey, you really need to know who you are. You really need to know what your boundaries are, what your passion is, what your legacy is. And when you find those things out, it's stepping out in courage. It's really not receiving anything, not accepting anything you're not willing to give out. It's really just having a clear sense of self. I love this saying, know thyself and to thyself be true. And that's one of the things that the biggest thing at the core of this. So my message to you today is step out into your own hallelujah. It's like looking for your keys, that Gail said. It's really within you. That thing that's going to spark you and take you to the next level is within you. So this day, take stock of yourself. Take inventory. Find out your strengths, your weakness, your passion, your legacy, and start that journey one day at a time. And you will too be unleashed and step into your hallelujah. Get unleashed, stay unleashed.